Hey everyone, it's Velga here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Felger and Matt.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Told you so.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jason Tatum moving to his right. Let's buy Curry. Finds Marcus Smart. Good looking at three. Instead gives it up to Jaylen Brown. And his three is money.
That dude right there. He wants it. He wants this game.
Horford, he kicks out to the corner for a Jaylen Brown three.
That boy's on fire, man. Call the dog on fire department.
Jaylen, fire in his eyes, coming out in game three. Jaylen drives on him, gets to the rim, scoops it up in him with the left hand. Again, he lured Draymond out and blew right by him. 22-9 is the early Boston lead. Jaylen steps to his left, three over Payton, got it. Excellent. His third of the quarter.
That dude is locked and loaded, man.
Jaylen's got 17 in the first quarter. Diagonal lead. Gets picked off by Horford. Long lead. Tatum never got back, so he's able to receive the pass. Find the trailer. Two-hand slam, Jaylen Brown. Al makes the play.
Great play there by Al to make that steal again.
Back to Jaylen for three. Got it. Cool. And safe with his Steph Curry. Swings to Klay Thompson against Jaylen Brown. Jaylen reaches for the ball, knocks it away, but Klay has it back. Shot clock at 7. Gets it back from Poole. Drives, and Jaylen swats it into the front row. Wow. Jaylen stayed with him the entire time. And Jaylen Brown tonight has been fire.
Man, that's a monster play. I mean, he caught that before he could even be off his fingertips.
Jaylen Brown has been the best Celtic through the first three games of these NBA Finals.
The team obviously is, you know, in a position to be, to win some games and do something special. So coming out each and every night, putting our best foot forward is what we got to do. And when we win as a team, you know, it feels even better. And tonight was a great team win for us.
It's hour number three, Felger and Mass, coming up on 4:05 in the afternoon. Myself and Big Jim Murray from our Townford Tire Studios here in Dorchester, Mass, on remote with the Red Sox in Anaheim. We're presented to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, both on 98.5 The Sports Hub, the FM dial here in Boston, and the simulcast where we beam across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. There's the Jaylen Brown montage. Who's the Celtics' best player right now, Mass?
Jaylen Brown. If the series ended right now, Jaylen Brown's the MVP of the series. I think Grandy's dead on. I think Brown has been the most impactful Celtic, which is not to say he's been perfect, but he's been more consistent than Tatum. He's been more assertive than Tatum. And again, I thought last night, aside from the points in the first quarter, there was a real statement there, right? Because the whole thing with him and Draymond Green and the conflict in game two, Brown came right out, went at him early. I mean, he ISO'd him a couple of times, went right at him. I thought Jaylen Brown was the best player on the floor tonight for the last night for the Celtics.
So it's debatable. I'd go Brown as well. But the point here is that's why you're about to be the champion, is that, you know, you can get into an NBA Finals and your second best player outperforms your best player all NBA. And this is what the Warriors kind of used to have in the first part of their dynasty, where Klay Thompson on any given night or any given series would be the best player. And he ain't that anymore, and the Warriors aren't quite that anymore, but that's what you are. Where Jaylen Brown, you know, you've got a consensus top five guy in the league, according to All-NBA, and an All-NBA guy and all this, and your best player is your second best player. That is a tremendous spot to be, Murray.
Yeah, good problem to have. I think it's Brown, too. I mean, this thing ended right now. He is the MVP. That's no knock on Tatum, but I just think he's been more consistent. He led their fourth quarter push in game one, and he was their leader last night. He's been excellent. The numbers, too. He's averaged just under 23 points through these games. Like, it's Jaylen Brown. He's been their most important player.
All right, back to your phones on everything, as promised. So we've had a little bit of a backlog. Danny and Georgia, go ahead, Danny.
No pleasantries, Felger. I'm going to ask you, is it a choke if the Celtics lose? I feel like through three games, they're clearly the better team. I thought the key going into the series was that you got to shut down Curry, maybe Thompson. They haven't even done that, and it looks like they're in command.
So is it a choke?
I want to get your take on that.
Not yet. Certainly, I'd be surprised at this point if the Celtics lost. Not that I'm changing my prediction, because why? I still have a chance to be right with Warriors, but it's not like I feel that or I believe that. I'd be surprised if the Warriors somehow overcame this massive physical disadvantage they seem to have against the Celtics. I'd be surprised if the Celtics lost, if they lost it. But a choke? Not quite yet. If they go up 3-1 and lose it, choke. Let me see. Do they lose a big fourth quarter lead like that game five against the Bucks? You know, so if they are up 12 points with 4 minutes to go and they blow it, yeah, then it's a choke. But right now I'm going to put it in the surprised or disappointed category, not quite choke yet. What do you think, Maz?
Oh, no, not a choke. I mean, not a choke yet anyway. Like, let me see how it plays out. And when I say that, I'm just not, you know, there's a lot of things I'm not convinced about. I'm not convinced you're going to get the same thing out of Robert Williams every game. And he was a huge factor in that performance last night. I'm not convinced that the Celtics can carry it over game to game, really put the heat on Golden State, take the series by the throat. So, like, there's still a lot of unanswered questions. Now, ask me after game four, if they go up 3-1 and then blow it, then that'll be a choke.
John in Rhode Island. Hi, John.
Hi. I just fixed the TV here. So I want to make an observation that was made earlier, and I want to second it. I think Jaylen Brown doesn't get the total respect of the commentators and press that Tatum gets, and I don't really understand it. I find him to be a very smooth player. Tatum, on the other hand, not quite so smooth. Now, I'm not trying to put Tatum down. I think he's a very good player. I think Brown is also very good. He just doesn't get the level of respect from commentators. And
so he's underrated. You think he's underrated, Maz? You think he doesn't get the love that he should nationally, Jaylen Brown?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit, because, again, he plays next to a guy that's all NBA and, frankly, whose game is more polished and is a better scorer, and everybody loves offense. So there's a little bit of that. But let's not forget, there was a stretch in that Miami series where we watched Jaylen Brown, and how many people were screaming the guy can't handle the ball, he can't dribble. So, like, you know, his game's not perfect. I just think right now, look, Mike, I said this earlier, this is why you have two of them. Okay, because there are elements in Tatum's game that in certain series are going to make him not, you know, a little more ineffective. And do you know that in this series, overall from the field, Tatum is shooting like 34%, I think, on twos. It's 33.9%, I say, on twos. That's overall. Okay, 34% for the series. They needed somebody to pick that up, and Jaylen Brown's the guy.
Derek in Foxborough, your thoughts on the Celts?
Yeah, Felger, before the series, you posed the question, would you rather have Draymond Green or Marcus Smart? And I think you took Draymond Green, but after these first couple games, I think the answer is clearly Marcus Smart. I mean, last night he gives you 24 points. He's posting up Curry on the block, making him play defense. I mean, Draymond Green might not score 24 points this whole series. They're playing 5-on-4 on offense with Draymond out there. Smart can at least give you some scoring.
Okay, so I'm not sure I did that. but I don't...
Even so, like, he's a better offensive player than Draymond Green. Draymond Green is crap from, like, I don't know, 15 to 18 feet, and he shouldn't be taking threes. But Smart also had some hideous turnovers last night, too.
So, you know, it's 2-1, Derek, and I think Draymond Green was the most important factor in the Warriors' one win. And if he does that again in Game 4 and the thing is tied, and remember, Marcus Smart was on the bench for their Game 1 win in the fourth quarter when they had that big second-half comeback in Game 1. He was largely on the bench. And then in Game 2, his minutes were way down, and he scored 2 points. So he had a good night last night, and he shot well in Game 1. But again, when the team came out and came back and won that game in Game 1, he was on the bench. So I'm going to give Marcus Smart one of the three games, and I'm going to give Draymond Green one of the three games. I'd still rather have Marcus Smart. I don't remember saying that, but I'll take your word for it, I guess. I know I said I'd rather have Jrue Holiday than Marcus Smart, and I do stand by that. I don't know if I'd rather have Draymond Green than Marcus Smart, but either way, I think their impact has been almost equal in this series. Maz, am I wrong to say that?
No, I mean, I would say no, that's about right. Yeah, I mean, Smart until last night was a non-factor. The thing I found interesting about last night, and I would say Green, you know, Green last night was a complete non-factor. So, you know, he was a zero. In fact, they probably hurt Golden State. The thing I found interesting about Smart's game last night is he was actually better when he's shooting than passing, which
absolutely
is a complete rarity for him.
Oh, I mean, some of those, again, the drive into the lane and then the kick out, that floaty, no-chance pass. I mean, he must have done that two or three times right in the thick of that Golden State run. So, you know, he wasn't perfect, but the best thing by far about him was his shot selection. He backed guys down. He got close to the rim, and he had really he was taking high percentage shots down there where he used his physicality over Curry or whoever else and took advantage. And, if he plays like that, of course, 10 times out of 10.
He's good in there, man. I'm telling you, that little 8-10-footer in the paint, that little turnaround, he is money on that.
That's his game. Real quick, Mike in North Attleboro on the Bees. Go.
Hey, guys. So I got another theory on the Sweeney-Cassidy firing. So this conversation, the end-of-the-year meeting, happened right after the series. And so Sweeney tells Cassidy his job is safe. Well, what if Sweeney thought he wasn't even going to be there? He thought he was canned. So, of course, the coach is safe. He's not firing the coach. Sweeney's not even going to be there.
I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. I think the coach wasn't Sweeney's call. So as far as Sweeney was concerned, after the season was over, he held his exit meeting. As far as I'm concerned, Bruce, you're good. Status quo, you're going to coach out the year. And then the Jacobs finally decided to weigh in, and the Jacobs said, nope, he's out. We're firing the coach. And so Sweeney had to go back over to Cassie's house and say, no, actually, you're gone. That's what I think happened. I don't think it was what the caller implied. Back with more right after these words.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's really been Golden State's game the last two quarters.
They're within nine. Rebound Wiggins. Wide open shot. Steph switches to the left hand across half court. Deep three. Got it. And the foul. And Steph Curry can make it a five-point game, which is as close as Golden State has been since the opening minutes. They have to look at this for a potential flagrant foul for getting in the landing space.
And Steph is doing something right now to his ankle like he really hurt his ankle. I think he's playing it up to the heel.
The ball count. Steph Curry will shoot two to make one. Now retain possession of the ball.
Ooh, this is ugly.
But it is a flagrant.
And they're going to shoot two to make one, and they're going to get the ball back.
A huge call against Al Horford.
Wow.
One of the greatest free throw shooters in NBA history.
Three, four. Probably going to get 4 points out of this play. What else will you get?
So now we are at 82-77. Boston's lead is five, and Golden State gets the ball back. Steph, left side of the floor, gets a hard screen from Wiggins, dribbles into the paint, free throw line. Derek White shuts him off. Out it comes to Wiggins, turns the corner, drives on Al Horford, turns, floats it out to the wing, having to force a three at the shot clock buzzer, and hitting it is Porter. It's a two-point game. Boston's 18-point lead is down to two, 82-80.
What a sequence that was. That was the 7-point possession. The Warriors come down the floor down nine. They head back the other way down two. And you know what happened. And I don't blame Sean Grandy there for saying he had to, that the Otto Porter three is what gave him the 7 points, the seventh, fifth, sixth, and seventh points. And I don't blame Grandy for saying he had to beat the shot clock because it looked like a desperation heave that you would take to beat the shot clock. It wasn't. There was 10 seconds on the shot clock. Otto Porter just decided to shoot it out of his ass, and it went in. And what a possession that was.
And speaking of asses, they were tightening at that point. At least they were in the Murray household. So after that sequence, I was like, oh, they're here.
Too.
Yeah, here they go. They're going to blow this.
And you thought they were losing at that point.
I did. But then the Golden State Warriors ended up scoring 11 points in that fourth quarter, and credit to the Celtics defense, and they battled back, and they didn't let that completely make them implode, which I was very impressed with, the defense especially in that fourth quarter.
Okay, so there's just a little bit more to unpack with that play. Do you dislike that rule, Maz? Was that the right is that the right rule and the right call?
I think that they made the right call on the rule only because Curry landed on Horford's foot. If he hadn't landed on his foot, I would have said no. But I understand, you know, the rule is there to prevent injury, right? That's the whole idea. And obviously affect the flow of the game and that whole thing too. But I think the big thing is about the injury. And Horford did get in there, and I think Curry was going forward too, but you got to give the guy space to land. At the end of the day, I think they got it right. I don't love the rule, but I think it's necessary, and I just have never seen a team give up 7 points on one possession. I've never seen it. That's the part that stunned me, but I think they got it right.
I get that they're trying to protect the players. I hate that rule. When I've seen it in the regular season, postseason, wherever, I can't stand that rule. Because it feels like the offensive player, more often than not, tries to manipulate it and almost move themselves forward to fall on a guy's foot.
So I think he definitely sold it on that. And I think they've tried to tighten that up, too. You know, I've seen it more than ever that when the offensive player kicks his leg out and that thing, the whole James Harden thing,
Yeah. They
do call an offensive on that. And that's definitely, they've definitely tried to address it in there. But for Pete's sake, 7 points. One possession, 9-point game down to two. And at that point, there was some booty tightening across the board. So anyway, I just thought that was the most interesting play of the night. And if the Celtics ended up losing it, that's the one we would turn back to. The 7-point possession, the 7-point swing. All right, back to your calls on anything that you want. Here's Riley in New Hampshire on Draymond Green. Go ahead, Riley.
Hey, guys, a couple quick takes on Clay and Draymond. Starting with Clay after the game, he was sitting there and saying the crowd wasn't a factor and then highlights what bothered him. Like, sorry about the swear words the kids learned from the warm-up playlist. As far as Draymond, when all this is said and done 15 to 20 years from now, all the people are going to say is, who is Draymond Green? He's this generation's Dennis Rodman, but way more boring and with a bigger mouth off the court. I guess you can say he serves his purpose out there, but he doesn't deserve the attention he gets. Thanks.
Okay, Dan in the car on Draymond Green. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you saw this, but Draymond Green's wife actually put out an Instagram story, like a very lengthy post complaining about just the lack of class and the fans and the words. And honestly, as a fan, I love it. I embrace it. I love that we're getting it under their skin. I just find it kind of funny and ironic that, you know, Draymond says in his conference that, oh, we're playing soft, and his own wife is out there publicly tweeting or snapping whatever about it. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up.
Does anyone care about Draymond Green's wife?
Nope, not in the least.
Not particularly, no.
And so she's has some emotional or what? I have no idea. I haven't seen it. I have no idea, but some emotional
You wouldn't care less.
Some sort of Instagram story about how the fan, like, do I give two poops about this?
No, absolutely not.
No, thank you. What I would tell Mrs. Green, if she goes by that, is that they're called massholes.
Welcome to Boston is what I would say. Bill and Lynn on Draymond Green. Go, Bill.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, here's the idea. You want to piss him off without swearing, really get under his skin. You want to drum with some support. When he stands up, don't swear. Everybody stand up and say, boo-hoo, Draymond. Wah-wah, Draymond.
See, I don't think Draymond Green's crying about it. I think
now, of all the Warriors, he's handling it the best.
I think he's sort of taking it. I can't speak for his wife, but I don't care about the wife. They're not supposed to be able to take it. Okay, so as Steve Kerr said, classy move, Boston, when he was asked about it. That's hardly crying about it. It was a three-word little quip when he was asked about it. Maybe Klay Thompson a little bit, bringing up the children, but I don't know how much crying they're doing about it.
Draymond Green is actually responding back in a funny way from his podcast.
No harm, no foul. Draymond. Draymond. You too.
You're crying more about them crying about it than they're crying about it. Yes, Mass.
Okay, but I will say, Mike, that the whole thing with Steve Kerr, you know, nice and classy, and Klay Thompson, the same thing, as opposed to what? One of your players trying to pull down another guy's pants? Like, so this is another one, too. Like, I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. The antics with Draymond Green, like, fine, part of the deal, that's how he plays. I get it. The Celtics have to deal with it. That's life. I would say the same thing to the Warriors. If you have a guy like that on your team that's pulling down someone's pants, and then you come into the other team's building and they're all over him, I mean, come on. Let's just accept the reality that this is all part of the deal when you have this guy on your team.
And not just any arena, because, not every place is like here. You just need to know that it's not, you know, if they walked into Phoenix, I don't think they'd be getting F.U. Draymond. Maybe they would. If they walked into Orlando, it's just you walk into Boston in the NBA Finals after you've carried yourself the way you've carried yourself, you're going to get the F.U. chant. It's just that's Boston. Like, you would have thought they would have known it. And I think they do, but I think there's a sense there that it's slipping away from them or that they might be overmatched. And that I think is the undercurrent. And that's why they're even going there a little bit, because I think they feel they're overmatched, and they probably are. Dakota and Braintree, yes.
All right, I got a few things. For one, I'm glad I didn't have anybody to hate in this series. And Draymond Green, you can't hate because you'd be hypocritical because we have Smart. But now I hate Klay Thompson and Steve Kerr, so I can't wait for us to destroy them. The next thing, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, and Robert Williams, according to my favorite NBA advanced analytical stat, PIE, have all been the top three. They're all pretty close. So as the and Tatum's under each of those threes for the analytics. So if it goes that way, the MVP will be either Brown, Horford, or Williams.
Who's the number one in PIE? I'm sorry, who's the number one PIE guy?
Jaylen Brown, Horford, and Williams, they're all right at 13 and a half. They're all mixed together. Next thing, third quarter. If we can control the third quarter coming out of halftime, this thing's over in five games. And the only way to do that is don't start the bigs. Curry comes out of halftime all fresh. His legs are fresh. The team is fresh. They wear down late in that quarter. If you can see all the runs happen early in the third quarter because they're running the pick and pop and they've got to chase Curry, start with Derek White and Grant Williams. Sit Williams and Horford on the bench just to start. Throw them a different look because that's when they're effective. And at the beginning of the series, I said to you how this team at Celtics was so overmatching Golden State. And I said age was going to play a factor. You disagree with me, Mike. But if you looked at it, and I mentioned the average minutes played in the series, Curry was 32 minutes.
Dakota, let me stop. You're over a minute. I still don't think it's age. I think it's size. I think you're just so much bigger than them that I don't know. I don't see age playing a factor here. I see size playing a factor. Maz, why were you shaking your head?
Because I want Dakota to choke on his pie. That's what I want. I'm tired of hearing about the freaking Dakota's pie stat. Look, the Celtics are a brutal mismatch for everybody. They're athletic. They're big. You know, they get some shooters now, you know, and they, so they can go to the rim. And this is the definition of a nightmare team if you're the opponent. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. And so the size thing in this series is their biggest advantage. I would pound that into the turf if I'm the Celtics or the parquet. I would absolutely pound Golden State with their size.
Two quick Bruins things. Be quick, please. Dave in Providence.
Hey, gentlemen, first of all, go see. Second of all, Bruce shouldn't have gotten fired. He's a great coach, likely will continue to be in Vegas. But now that he has, everyone's talking about Jay Leach. What about David Quinn? He's a New England guy. He's the head coach at BU, assistant coach all over the league, coach of Team USA, World Juniors, Olympics. Most recently, he was the Rangers head coach.
Yeah, I got you. I'm going to stop you. Dave Quinn, I'm going to write that down. Johnny in Boston. Go, Johnny.
Mikey, I think this has Neely's hands all over it. I think your boy Ty Anderson asked us, Brucey, today, if anybody approached him from upstairs about the way he was messaging players through the media, trashing players in the media, and Brucey confirmed that Neely did speak to him and told him to be careful trashing players in the media. So I think Neely had a hair across his ass with Brucey, and he's got the bat phone up to Buffalo.
Okay, he might, Johnny. I'm just going to cut you off. I think it was ownership. To me, it's ownership, not Neely, because Don Sweeney, again, that comment he made at his press conference on Monday, when he said he did it, the decision didn't sit well with me either. And if you think the Jacobs are absentee owners, you've got another thing coming out of nowhere. So he's pinning it on the owner there. And that's what I'm taking out of it. I think it was the owner, not Cam Neely. But Neely and Charlie Jacobs are tight, so maybe they're one and the same. I don't know. And I didn't mean to be sarcastic with Dave Quinn. I meant I was going to circle back to it. No on Dave Quinn. No. I just know from the BU thing. You know how many studs are skating across the NHL right now who played at BU? I mean, we're like Kentucky of basketball. I just, you know, guy after Eichel, McAvoy, you name it, like just stud after stud. BU produces so many high-end NHL players. How many national championships do they win under Dave Quinn? That would be zero. How do you have Eichel, McAvoy, Kelleher, Coyle was a good college player, Grizzly, name it. Like they have a million players across the NHL, and they never win squat. Which tells me Quinn knew how to recruit, or they pay well over there. Sorry, just telling it like it is. But he can't coach. So I don't have any interest in Dave Quinn as a head coach. Sorry, I don't. Mac Jones spoke today about the Patriots' offensive changes, the new coaches. We'll give you that sound and a developing opinion I have on that as well right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
Hey, everyone. It's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Sent you.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
How would you describe where your comfort level is now with the new setup coaching-wise, you know, and the voices working with you there?
Yeah, I think we have a great group of coaches that obviously have a lot of experience, not only on offense, but defense, special teams, all that. So they've seen a lot of football. And the most important thing is just getting on the same page, speaking the same lingo between the players, the coaches, and we've done a good job with that. So it's obviously a learning experience, and we're trying to grow together and move in the right direction. I definitely think we made pretty good strides there, you know, in the past couple of weeks. And you can't be done with OTAs and let that fall off. You got to carry that through the season. That's the most important part. And we understand that for training camp. And we just got to get better every day and keep communicating, keep talking.
Okay, quick Celtics breather with a thought on the Patriots. Mac Jones spoke today about this crazy thing that Belichick is doing. Not giving his second-year quarterback an official offensive coordinator. Not giving him a quarterback coach who has any experience coaching quarterbacks. Or a play caller who has any experience calling plays at the NFL level. I mean, it's just insane what they're doing. We've talked about it a million times, and every time I mention it, I'm still amazed they're doing it. And I think Mac Jones is doing his best to play the good soldier. Talked about there us all getting on the same page, language-wise. And it is obvious now because several players have now said it. Belichick mentioned it the other day. They're streamlining the playbook, streamlining the language. Isaiah Wynn yesterday said they're dumbing it down. So Kendrick Bourne said they're changing the playbook or changing the terminology. So somewhere in there, they're changing the offense or dumbing it down or streamlining it, whatever you want to say. And they're doing it in Mac Jones' second year. Are they doing it for Mac Jones, Mass?
No, they're doing it for the coaching staff.
They're doing it for the two offensive coaches they've put on that side of the ball who've never coached offense. Because they need it. So how can that sit well with anyone? I mean, I don't think they're doing it for the benefit of the players. They should. Maybe that thing got way too complicated over the years. 20 years of Tom Brady, 20 years of Josh McDaniels. You know, they added add-ons, and like they could speak the language. Probably no one else could. So maybe it's due for some streamlining. You know, that's not really my issue. It's who are you doing it for? If it needed streamlining for the players, why didn't you do it last year? Why don't you tell Josh to dumb it down for the players last year? So it's just for the coaches. It's for Patricia and Joe Judge.
Yeah, because at this point, the only players that's going to benefit is anyone new that you signed or rookies. It's clearly for these two dopes.
So Jones was also asked about that, about the dumbing down of the offense. He's trying to be very diplomatic, but he pretty much also confirms it. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think the idea, you know, for every offense is to have an identity and to be able to play fast and play quicker and put stress on the defense is important for any offense. And we want to be able to do that consistently. And we want to be able to do whatever we want to do at any given time. And whether that's a run, pass, play action, short, medium, or long, we're trying to be able to have a little bit of variety and just grow together, you know, with the young guys and the old guys. So we have guys that have been in the system for many years, and then we have some younger guys like myself who've kind of seen both sides. So there's, you know, finding a good balance and then growing together as a unit is the most important part. You know, at the end of the day, football is football, and you know, offensive football, there's only so much you can do. You can't recreate the wheel with every different system. I think, you know, you either run it or you throw it. It's really that simple. And you know, that's pretty much all there is to it.
So now it doesn't matter. And so again, I think Jones is just trying to explain it. Now it doesn't matter what the system is or what the offense is or what the language is. It's just football. It's a run or a pass. You know, I think he's just trying to play the good soldier and explain what is really an insane situation.
Oh, he definitely is. Look, again, they're going to twist the argument to fit whatever their needs are at that particular point in time. So now they're in a spot where they have two inexperienced coaches on that side of the ball, and they need to dumb it down because they don't have a lot of time to get the coaches up to speed. So, you know, you can't go into a season with that. So you got to dumb it down and get the coaches up to speed, and that means they're going to have limitations when they get onto the field.
So, to me, this is what's going on. They've had to change the offense, alter the offense, dumb it down. Isaiah Wynn said yesterday, we're dumbing it down so we can play fast. So we don't have to think so much, we can just play. Okay, I mean, that sounds great on paper. Why didn't you do that last year? Why don't you? Oh, I know, because the coach was all set with the playbook and the terminology. Now your new coaches aren't, so now you're dumbing it down so they can play faster? Why don't you start that process last year? So I don't believe them that they're doing it for that. I think they're doing it for the coaches that they have in there. They're also, you read up, you know, they're running like these zone running principles, more of like the McVay Shanahan sort of model. So now there is something of a new system there. It feels like they're working that in with a new offensive line coach in Patricia, who hasn't coached offense in whatever 15 years. I just think it's setting up for a big step back this year.
Well, they must be good with it, though. Everything's going to be installed for now because Bill's going to be happy because he canceled practice today and the practice is next week, right? So let's clean our hands here. No, everything's happy. Everything's happy and good down at Foxborough.
And apparently yesterday, Bill spent the entire practice talking to some assistant coach from Moose Ball State or something. Where's the kid from? He basically turned the entire practice over to Judge and Patricia, or I'm sorry, Mayo and Steve Belichick on one side, and Patricia and Judge on the other.
Sure,
and
it wasn't John Bon Jovi. He was there yesterday.
Nope, and he wasn't even talking to his pal. He was talking to, I'm sure they wrote it.
Hold on.
He was talking to some assistant coach from some school, some college. He spent the whole time on the sidelines for like an hour talking to this. I'm sorry, here it is. Utah State defensive coordinator and safeties coach, Ephraim Banda. Banda previously coached at the University of Miami. Any ties, and this is, I'm reading from the Globe, any ties to New England or the Patriots remain unclear. I'll say.
Let me look this guy up.
It's some random, the Utah State safeties coach. She spent an hour, apparently, talking to the Utah State safeties coach who is hosting on the sidelines.
Job interview.
So I don't know what's going on down there. Volan wrote an interesting thing. Did you read this about one of these coaches, offensive coaches on Bill's staff in Cleveland? So Ben Volan writes that Belichick did not have an official offensive coordinator in his five seasons in Cleveland. I didn't know. I thought he had an official coordinator in the final 2 years. The first three, he had no offensive coordinator, I thought. But Volan says in the 5 years, he had no offensive coordinator. Belichick called plays sometimes, even though he had spent most of his career as a defensive coach. But, says Volan, there was no chain of command, and it led to confusion and finger-pointing. Gary Tranquil, the Browns quarterback coach from 91 to 93, told the Washington Post in a story a couple of years ago that Belichick's offensive philosophy was to just call plays that he struggled to defend as a defensive coach. In one game, Belichick unexpectedly told Tranquil that he was in charge of calling the plays for the rest of the game, and that was his fault if he wasn't prepared. Said Tranquil, quote, "There was nobody on offense calling the shots. We would mash around things for hours, and then we'd have to go through him," meaning Belichick, "to make sure, and he'd say he didn't want to do that, which is a head coach's prerogative, but sometimes that got old." So there was no real structure there on offense. He would just, in the middle of a game, say, "Tranquil, you got this." And Tranquil would say, "Well, I didn't prepare for this during the week." And Bill would say, "Well, you should have. It's on you." And it was just sort of a mismatch of offensive coaches, and no one really knew who was doing what. And are we about to relive that? It's possible, because I think Bill has it somewhere in the back of his mind that you can just plug anyone into these spots and it's going to work because it's my system. And he's forgotten about the Cleveland experience? I don't know. But I know it's been the same thing. I've done this over and over and over again this offseason, but how am I supposed to not? Like, is there anything that tells me this isn't going to end in a disaster?
No, I don't know how you can trust that it's Matt Patricia and Joe Judge running the Patriots offense in the all-important second year for Mac Jones. The only thing that you can feel is outrage or confusion. I don't know how you can feel anything else.
Anyway, there's that. All right, long commercial-free segment is next.
Hey, everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new Business Hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Let me tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We'll be better. I'll be better. Come out, win game four. Go back home 2-2.
It was Draymond Green after the game last night. Not quite the cocky attitude or conviction that he had after game one. When he said, Derek White, Al Horford, Marcus Smart, ain't going to do that again. And I think in general, the Warriors are feeling it. Maybe I'm reading into it, but if I were them, that's how I would feel. I'd feel like we might be overmatched here. I think you're sort of feeling that or hearing that. At least I did last night after the game. All right, back to your phones. Here's a Dean in Shrewsbury with a very important point. Go ahead, Dean.
Guys made a bet a few months ago. I was wondering when you guys are just going to cover that bet. Felger, you're not looking too good.
I'm looking horrible. Okay, so to reset this, this was at the Super Bowl when I kicked these guys' ass in golf.
Yep, cheated.
Despite not playing for like 6 years. Came right out of the chute and already putting up numbers. So I beat them in golf. Maz owed me, I can't remember, $100, something like that?
$90.
You owed me $90, and he said, all right, let's let it ride. Let me bet the Celtics at 5-1 to win the championship. Is that what it was?
Correct.
Yeah.
And like an idiot, I said yes. So if it's double or nothing, but it's really not double or nothing because I'm not going to be nothing. If Maz wins, I owe him $410, basically.
$450.
That's amazing.
No, you said...
5-1, $90. I owed you 90, okay? And it was double or nothing, meaning if the Celtics lost...
I thought you were betting 100. I'm sorry. Never mind. Go ahead. Just go ahead.
Yeah, if the Celtics lost, I give you 180, or I write it to charity, or whatever. If the Celtics win, you give me 450.
450.
5-1 on $90. Correct.
450. So, will you accept a buyout?
Hell no! What, are you kidding me? It's better for the charity. If I'm not going to pocket the dough. You know, we'll see what happens when the whole thing plays out. I might even split it with you. We'll
no,
see,
but... no effing way. I pay my debts. I pay my debts, and it's a good charity. What's the name of your charity again, Maz?
No. I thought we were doing it for Christmas in the City. I thought we would go that
route. No. We'll do yours for the Who's Your Caddy Classic, which is next week. It'll be right
well,
there.
But, yeah, it's, if it's decided by then, or even if it's not, I suppose we can. But that is correct. I took 5-1 odds that the Celtics would win the title. I put that money on 5-1 odds that the Celtics would win the title, and that's where we are right now.
So the irony of this is that I feel like I've been on the Celtics side in terms of their talent for a long time, even when they sucked and they were losing games. And I said this at the time. This is why it was such a story that they were underachieving, because I thought their talent, I thought they had a chance to be one of the best teams in the league. Their talent. And that Tatum had a chance to be a top five guy. And I've been always like consistent on that. And when they started to turn it around, Maz and I both, one of the first ones who said, watch out, if they put it together, they are a real factor. They are a championship contending factor. I said that early. I had to argue with Gasper for months, right? Like, didn't Gasper have him like sixth in the conference or seventh in the conference?
Yeah. He was stubborn.
He had the Bulls ahead of him.
He was so stubborn on that. Like, no. They are if they keep it together, they are a championship contender. That is what their talent is. So I've always believed in that part of it, the talent of it. Now them all putting it together and Tatum and Brown being able to play together at a high level and all of that, those were the question marks and their maturity and all of that. Those were the things they had to overcome. But in terms of the pure talent, they had it. And I always felt that. So I somehow got suckered into that bet. Now here we go.
It was a very subtle blowing by you right there.
It was a little bit. Yeah, I picked up on that too, Murray. Again, it was like, I was right, but yep. I'm a nice guy. I'm going to pay money to charity.
But I just feel like, because it's like to take that bet is like you don't believe in the Celtics. When I frankly kind of did. You know, I frankly kind of did. But either way, not that I thought they'd be winning a championship anytime soon. Back to your thoughts. Here's Ian in New Bedford. Go ahead, Ian.
Yo, what's up, guys? So I just wanted to talk about the Celtics taking care of the ball last night. I just felt like they moved with the ball with purpose. Once they got into the lane, they weren't leaving their feet with nowhere to go with the ball. They were either going up with it or taking the ball strong, drawing fouls. I know it goes without saying, but just keep it under 15 turnovers. They got no problems winning the title, and so, I hope it happens.
Well, they did. You know, the turnovers almost got them last night, but they did keep under that magic number, didn't they? They had 12 turnovers. So they stayed under that. But the way they attacked, Mass, I thought they got so many good looks for themselves just by attacking the paint, attacking the basket, backing guys down, and just that size difference last night popped. For the first time, really, I think this series, it really popped.
Oh, it was the difference in the game. And look, I know you talked about Draymond Green's response to this game versus game one. So game one was a three-point barrage. That's what it was. And so Draymond Green can look at that and justify it statistically and say, well, the percentages say that these guys aren't going to do that again, so we'll be okay. But this one, they got pushed around. Unless the Warriors are all planning on growing 6 inches before game four, that one's not going to change. They're still going to be smaller.
Real quick, we talked earlier about the Warriors' basket being raised a couple inches in the pregame, which they did catch. Dan and Milton on that. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, okay, I didn't even know if you guys had known about it because I was driving. I don't pick up 98.5 on the radio very well, so at another station on at 2:15 this afternoon, the radio host first comes on. He says, Kobe Bryant one time in an arena complained about the basket, and they said, oh, you're crazy. And they measured it was a quarter of an inch higher. So then he says, Kerr.
Dan, hey, Dan, yeah. What's your point on this?
Oh, the point is, I didn't know if you guys had heard about it.
Oh, we heard about it. We talked about it. You want to go back and listen to the podcast? We're not going to do the whole segment over again, but it was a weasel move by the Celtics. Weasels. If you're just joining us, it was about 2 hours before the game, not like the official team warm-up, but it was, I guess, well before the game. And some of the Warriors players went out to put some balls up, to shoot some, just get some shots up. And I think it was Gary Payton II. Who looked at the rim or shot on the rim and said, this doesn't quite feel right. And sure enough, they bring out this device. Are you showing it there on NBC Sports Boston? It's a great tool. It's a piece of wood that's exactly 10 feet high with a little hook on it that you hook onto the rim. And if it's 10 feet high, that piece of wood's going to flush perfectly on the parquet. Except it was raised by about 2 inches. An inch to 2 inches. So whoever set the rims on the Warrior side set it about 2 inches high, which is a great way to F with the team, if you ask me. They come out for the warm-ups. Everything's clanging or coming up short, and they get all warm on one rim, and then at some point in the game, they lower it to the regulation 10 feet, and the next thing you know, they've warmed up on the wrong size rim.
And that would definitely be enough to throw some guys off, right?
Hell yeah.
Definitely.
These guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The way they're dialed in? Oh, my God. Which is probably why they noticed it quickly. Yeah. But I don't know if you were sort of off your game or out to lunch. Maybe you would. How would Draymond Green know, for example? Like that hack. Like he would never know.
So was it maybe just some devious bro on the Bull Gang? Like, who's responsible ultimately?
Belichick.
Belichick was in the building. Belichick. But what a weasel move. What a weasel move by the Celtics on that one.
I heard he was walking around wearing a credential that said NFL photographer 138.
Here's an update with Big Jim. We're back with the final hour of your wonderful thoughts. No commercials here.
Hey, everyone. It's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win.
FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.